नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. श्रीमद् भागवतम सेवेंथ कैंटो चैप्टर 9 एंटाइटल्ड प्रह्लाद पेसिफाइज द लॉर्ड विद प्रेयर्स टेक्स्ट 53. माम अप्रीणत आयुष्मन् दर्शनं दुर्लभं हिमे दृष्ट्वा मां न पुनर्जन्तुर् आत्मानं तप्तुमर्हति. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. My dear Prahlad, may you live long time. One cannot appreciate or understand me without pleasing me. But one who has seen or pleased me has nothing more for which to lament for his own satisfaction. Purport. One cannot be happy under any circumstances unless one pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But one who has learned how to please the Supreme Lord need no longer lament for his material condition. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. These particular chapters of the seventh canto actually the whole of Srimad Bhagavatam is eternally relevant for all souls, for all time, under all circumstances. That's the eternal truth, Sanatana Dharma. And then there are so many material conditions, as explained by Prabhupada here. One who has learned how to please the Supreme Lord need no longer lament for his material conditions. Material condition of us or the situation keeps, always is in flux. Chita, Ushna, Sukha, Dukha, this kind of situation will always go. And therefore, Bhagavatam helps in retaining our focus, irrespective of the material condition of the body or the material condition externally. Because there is a tendency for the conditioned soul to be absorbed in the immediate material condition. So much so that the whole consciousness or the whole priority in life or whole focus in life shifts from the material to the, or from the eternal to the temporary. And therefore, hearing Bhagavatam from person Bhagavatam on a regular basis helps us to actually retain the focus. It is natural that in this material world means change. There are many laws, and one of the laws is only one law that doesn't change is the law of change. That says that everything changes in this world. Keeps changing. Kaumaram yavanam jaram. So, these chapters when everything is perfect, your health is in good condition, situation is more like Satyuga, we can discuss and enjoy the nectar. But when situation from within or without is changed, at that time the focus may be lost and our priorities may change, or we really start questioning or doubting. Our whole absorption of our consciousness may also change. And therefore, by reading the histories, that's what scriptures are all about. Some of the pastimes are from different planetary systems. Some are in different universes. Some are of different lifespan, different ages. So from Sat, Treta, Dwapar, and even Kali Yuga, Mahaprabhu's pastimes, or in Parampara, the pastimes of the great Acharyas, again and again we find this, that these great souls who are person Bhagavatam, they maintain their focus. So all of a sudden this chapter will become very relevant. Rather than just story, suddenly we find that in my life it is happening. And then we actually realize, this is not just nice story in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There are so many beautiful chapters. There are two kinds of living entities. Dvabhuta sargav lokesmin daiva asurayavacha. Those who are wanting to please the Lord, surrender to the Lord, follow by His instructions and live. And those who concoct different conclusions and then want to establish it as the truth. And therefore there is always strong differences of opinion. And both may feel that they are right. And therefore there is friction. And there is so much disturbance that is caused within and without. Here we see Hiranyakashipu, the king of demons. At the first chapter. So he had his own materialistic conception of what is right. And Prahlad had something different. Next is Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu's plan to become immortal. Because he had his own plan, not according to the Lord's plan. Next is Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the universe. Not just small city, not a planet. Terrorizes the universe. Super terrorists. And right under his nose is Prahlad Maharaj. And we see his consciousness. Shanda and Amarka are propagating, systematically trying to brainwash and create a different kind of priorities in his life and etc. But Prahlad, being so fixed, is not affected. His focus is not lost. So, in the Satyuga, it was Hiranyakashipu. In Treta Yuga also, again and again in the history we find sages during Lord Ramchandra are performing their activity of nice yajna to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Maricha and Subahu come and try to disrupt the whole thing, create a, basically terrorizing, throwing all kinds, somehow disrupting the whole thing, trying to destroy. And then the sages go to the powerful Kshatriya king and says, do something for this. We are disturbed. And Dasarath Maharaj himself wants to go, but then Vishwamitra says, no, 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 send Ram. Also, we were in Talwan recently, that talks about Lavanasur, his father Madhu, and his mother and son, a family of three, in the Talwan, creating such a nuisance that occupied the whole area of Yamuna, and they said, this is Madhuvan. Sounds very nice. Madhuvan. Sometimes you have a nice garden, they call Madhuvan. But this one was called Madhu because the demon Madhu was there. And he named his area as Madhuvan. So no one in that area could perform any religious activity. What to speak of, even taking bath in the Yamuna was absolutely disallowed. So all this, they would take over some area and call it, this is our area, and this, nothing happens. And then ultimately the sages disturbed, they actually went to Lord Ram in Ayodhya. He himself wanted to come, but then Shatrughna said, don't worry, I'll take care. So in this way, Sat, Treta, Dwapar also, Lord Krishna's time, you name it and you have it. All kinds of powerful demons, some claiming himself to be God, raised himself as Vasudev, he said, I am the real Vasudev, Paundrak. So all kinds of concocted ideas and wanting to establish that. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, also, so many times, different soldiers attacking, devotees were really, really afraid, disturbed. Mahaprabhu gave them assurance, don't worry, you will have Sankirtan. If you don't have faith, just see. Then he did miracle with Narayani, gave her pure love of Krishna. So it will always be, this kind of situations come and there is a tendency to be absorbed. During Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's time also, can you imagine the whole country, top intellectuals of the country, everyone is talking about freedom. That was, as we were reading yesterday, it was considered to be as good as liberation. Liberation from this kind of thing is actually considered at that time when and top intellectual, the whole world is talking, the whole country is talking about it. People are giving their lives for it. And at that time, when Prabhupada Abhay Charan went to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, yeah, there are people who will do that, but this is more important. Liberating them from the cycle of birth and death is the most urgent necessity that cannot be compromised. Very difficult to maintain or to have that conviction when surrounded by the whole consciousness is indifferent. I can practically, what to speak of, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in this particular day and age, how would this happen? One incident that happened right here in the temple, I can recollect, where everyone was kind of as a wave and everyone was absorbed in it, and all that we have heard was temporarily forgotten or stalled. There were there is a rumor that spread that Ganapati is drinking milk a few years back. All over. Somebody rang up from Australia. I said, my Ganapati is also drinking milk. Somebody said, my baby Krishna is drinking milk. Somebody said, the thing that you use to pound to powder, and that is also drinking. So many things. The whole world was talking about it. And many of our senior devotees started ringing up to our temple and said, the whole world is talking. I think we should feed milk to Gopinath also. At least to Gopalji. He drinks milk in a small bottle. So we were seriously considering. Should try. But that's at least for Ganpati. So earlier this Ganpati here, about the door, it had a glass case. So one devotee, I won't tell his name, he put up the ladder and he removed the glass covering, and then he took a glass of milk and took a spoon and was trying to feed. And actually down we had this bolas classes and all that. Everyone was standing and watching. What's going to happen? Pee rahe kya? And suddenly Radhanath Swami Maharaj started coming from that side walking. Somehow the devotee realized what I'm doing is not the right thing. Just dropped the whole thing, ran away from there. Everyone ran away. I was caught there somehow because I was coming from behind. I didn't know what's happening. So I was pushing through the crowd and I was the first person from behind. So he caught me. He said, "What's happening?" I said, "I'll find out and tell you." I said, "Actually, Maharaj, Ganapati is drinking milk, it seems." So, "What?" And he said, "Yeah, he's drinking milk, so he's trying to feed and find out." So everyone had gone away and taken away, and the glass was put back. And the next day, Maharaj started speaking in the Bhagavatam class. And he said, "So the whole world yesterday was trying to, the milk actually went out of stock. Everyone was buying milk at very heavy price and running any Ganapati temple nearby. They were running to actually trying to feed." So he said, very nicely explained, he said, everyone was running, but what was their motive? Their motive was to see, really, is drinking. We want to see the excitement of being a witness, to see that a stone statue is drinking milk. Because they have no faith that the deities can drink something. So they were running, not out of love. "Oh, my worshipable Lord is drinking milk. If he starts drinking every day, would they really feed?" It was just that excitement. I want to be a part. I want to see. So that means you all have no faith that so far whatever you have offered, he has not eaten. He has not drunk. You have been offering 6 bhogas, 6 times to Gopinathji for years. That means he has not been eating. And you say you are eating Mahaprasad. What is that? That means he has already tasted it. He has eaten it. This is remnants. We should actually try to see through the eye of scriptures. Krishna says, "Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti upahartam ashnami." I eat. It is Krishna's word that if you offer with love and devotion, I actually eat. So, but when there is a powerful and strong propaganda, where just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, Balabhadra Bhattacharya was with him, and there is a powerful propaganda in Vrindavan that Krishna has appeared again, and he stands on the Kaliya and, you know, gives darshan in the night. Many Brahmanas come and they were telling Balabhadra, "You also." Balabhadra told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "I'll just have darshan and come." Mahaprabhu just slapped him and said, "Tomorrow you may go. Stay back." And the next day some very wise elderly Brahmanas came and said, no, actually we found out it's not actually Krishna. It's a boatman who goes in the night. The boat looks like Kaliya's hood. And, you know, the boatman looks like Krishna. And he carries a lantern. So the lantern looks like a jewel on the head of Kaliya. So it was a thing like that. So Yes, it is. It's true. It's true that these kind of things many a times that is affecting and does affect our consciousness, and you know, is an issue which needs to be addressed at the time of like pre-independence. You can imagine how relevant was it. But at the same time, this message, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, is so important, so essential. This cannot be put as a priority. There are many others who may do other jobs, but this is a top priority. And at least those who have... It's also said that one leader approached Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and said, you have so many people, give them for this movement. Bhaktisiddhanta said, they are very thinny people, they can't fight anywhere, don't worry, leave them alone. But then he explained actually, but this is such an important thing. This is an eternal truth. This is eternal suffering. Srirangam, we had been and we saw how there are so many beautiful carvings about the, I think Mughals or something, they attacked, and you know, thousands of Vaishnavas were actually killed at that time. They attacked and destroyed. And so it's unfortunate. It's such a, it really boils you when you see that kind of a thing happening. So, but simultaneously also we should understand, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, that the importance of this, and this is, so that's what he's saying here, one cannot be happy under any circumstances, because they thought, but by doing that, we will become happy. But now we have got a situation when we are free, but then happiness is not there. So one cannot be happy under any circumstances unless one pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dharma sunushtita pumsam vishvaksena kathasya notpadayet yadiratim shramaye vahi kevalam. Bhagavad says that very clearly. But one who has learned how to please, the Supreme Lord need no longer lament for his material condition. Material conditions will keep changing. But our focus on this cannot be lost. And we see Prahlad Maharaj, he's one of the Mahajans. And anyone who follows in that footstep is a Mahajan. It's very easy to speak sitting on the Vyasasana and, you know, powerfully speaking philosophy. But are we convinced? Especially when there is a powerful wave, we may also get carried away. Unless we are deep, just like very, very fixed rocks, in spite of the waves coming and hitting it, it doesn't shake. Whereas anything else which has not deeply rooted in earth and very fixed up, a wave can easily carry it away. So we may get easily carried away by these emotions. They are real on one platform. It has to be dealt with. But then simultaneously, we should also realize not at the cost of compromising on the absolute truth. Because that, the souls coming into this material, that is the real problem. Other problems are real. Hunger is real. On the bodily platform, disease is real. But the real disease, the root of all the disease, all this, when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, there is only one problem in this world, lack of Krishna consciousness. And there is only one solution, Krishna consciousness. The others, just like when there is a boil, an expert doctor deals in two ways. One is for the boil, he may give some local application. But that is only a symptom. To go to the root, he has to give some medicine which goes to the belly and, you know, the whole blood is purified. That's the most important part. And some relief for the temporary, some local application may be given. But unless you go to the root, and that cannot be minimized at any time. Everything else, we hear how the Second World War was going on and Prabhupada was making puri to offer it to Lord Krishna. All these bomb sirens were there and everyone was going into the hideout. But here he was doing this. It's a small incident, but it speaks a lot. So there is always a tendency. It is a reality on one platform, but the real thing is that is why constant hearing is required, which goes to the root. And it's a fact. If only we could powerfully give Krishna consciousness, then all these symptoms, if you actually trace back any problem, it's because of lack of Krishna consciousness, God consciousness. It is lack of that, which leads to this and this and this, and these are all symptomatic. There'll be 100 other symptoms. If this symptom stops, one symptom stops, then there is fighting at another level. Right now, our consciousness will be pervaded by one particular problem. Okay, that stops. Suppose tomorrow everything is stopped. Then suddenly, Shaivites versus Vaishnavites. Or this parampara versus that parampara. In-group, out-group. It's called in psychology, they're called in-group and out-group. One nation fights, the whole nation comes. Or sometimes political parties. They come together to fight common enemy. Once that is over, then problem between themselves starts. Who will occupy the power? So this will always be there. Symptoms of lack of Krishna consciousness. So these are different levels. Problems will come and go. But very few, rare souls. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yata siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschid mam veti tatvata. A true Vaishnav with this deep conviction of what's the real problem of life are actually very rare. And therefore, they have to focus only on that. The whole world is there to deal with other things. But this cannot stop at the cost of other things. Of course, it is easy to see. I don't know how I'll react tomorrow if some situation occurs. But the fact is, at least when everything is smooth, we can speak and hope that even when the waves come, on an intellectual platform, on an emotional platform, on a sensual platform, there will be waves that rock our whole existence. But at that time, to be fixed on the spiritual platform, that is what Prahlad Maharaj is exhibiting, as we were also discussing yesterday. Maharaj was discussing what kind of things that he underwent, what kind of threats that he underwent. Unimaginable, 5-year-old boy, all alone. He didn't have a force also. What kind of facility does he have? And what is the opposition? Hiranyakashipu, practically demigods are scared of him. It's amazing. That's why it's in the Bhagavatam. That's why all the great acharyas since time immemorial, I have read these and for inspiration, for strength and for faith. So, it's so nice when everything is smooth to hear this, such a sweet pastime. But then when we actually are in the ocean, the boat is in the ocean and the waves are coming in front, to be actually be convinced of this, that yes, one cannot be happy under any circumstances, freedom, no freedom. Suffering, no, or happy, externally happy situation. Heaven or hell, geographically, you may be in a very heavenly situation, but even they are always unhappy sometimes, always in anxiety. So one cannot be happy under any circumstances unless one pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the real happiness, permanent, eternal, in any situation. But one who has learned how to please the Supreme Lord need no longer lament for his material condition. One who has learned how to please the Supreme Lord. So, the Bhagavatam gives the solution, how to please the Supreme Lord. And that is pure devotional service, Navada Bhakti, as Prahlad has expressed already to Hiranyakashipu. And that is why, that's why he says, my dear Prahlad, next verse it says, you are very fortunate. Please know from me that those who are very wise and highly elevated tries to please me in all different modes of mellows. For I am the only person who can fulfill all the desires of everyone. So we are made fortunate. It's our good fortune that we have the formula for addressing one root cause by addressing which all other symptoms. Few years ago, our whole focus was, these McDonald's people are coming. How can we stop meat eating industry? How to stop this? How to create awareness for meat eating industry? So much meat. That's a big problem. Turning people to vegetarian. There are so many organizations fighting for vegetarianism so that people can become vegetarian. There are so many causes. They write so many arguments for that. There are so many which fight for against AIDS, which root cause illicit sex and that and this. In Hindi there is a saying, Sau sonar ki ek lohar ki. The goldsmith, if you see how he works, he has a small hammer and for one little thing he takes about an hour or so, just to make one little remover. And the blacksmith, with two hands, he takes and ek mar do tukda. You see, especially people who are working, really hammer very hard. So, Krishna consciousness is like that, ek lohar ki. At one shot, all these problems will automatically be solved. Automatically his illicit problem will solve. Automatically he will become a vegetarian. Automatically other things will stop. Because of that stop, many other things stop. So this is the root. I remember one time our Paramahamsa Prabhu gave a class and he analyzed through his IIT brain. Said all the problems. He said in a Sunday feast class, he said, give me any problem of this world, and anyone, so many people said, and he took that, analyzed, let's go, what is the root of this, and the root of all is ignorance of the real self, ignorance of one's real benefit, ignorance of what is genuinely beneficial for everyone. Ignorance causes a person to act in such a way against the laws of nature, and therefore he suffers reactions. So, knowledge is the solution. This addresses, if this knowledge is given, then automatically you realize that everything else falls into place. When Parikshit Maharaj was there, Kali could not enter. Even when Kali came, sometimes people ask, did Parikshit Maharaj make a mistake? No, because by the law of God, Kali Yuga had to come. But it couldn't come. Parikshit Maharaj, as a powerful executive head, he was so powerful and so influential, such a powerful Kshatriya, even though he gave Kali places, but he made sure that such places don't exist in his kingdom. Kali, he cheated Kali. Kali was wanting to cheat him by dressing as a king. But Parikshit Maharaj cheated him. He said, all right, I'll give you 4 places. Okay, 1 more place. But he made sure that such places don't exist. And therefore, Bhurijan Prabhu writes in his commentary, he says, a powerful executive head and Kali is contradictory. It's contradictory. And to create that, you need to have this knowledge. Even to create that, Prabhupada said, if few leaders take up this process, so much can be done. Without this, it's like a foundation. Everything else will collapse. Why he said books are the basis? Basis means the foundation. If you remove the foundation, however wonderful the building is, first to the top floor, everything is bound to collapse. So these is so essential. And this is Srila Prabhupada's contribution, which has made anyone who has accessed this so fortunate, that at least few have the solution, at least know the solution. There are many who don't know. Their intentions are very good, but they don't know. We know, but now our intention have to be intensified. We may know at least the solution. But how? It's amazing. Sometimes people with these kind of things are ready to give their lives. It's amazing. For these causes, people are ready to give their lives. How convinced they must be about that this cause is the ultimate. What kind of propaganda can create that? What to speak of when we have the highest cause? But one thing is to know, but another thing is to be convinced actually. Ado Shraddha, now we have faith, some knowledge, but Tato Anartha Nivritti Syat. Doubts is because of Anarthas. Tato Anartha Nivritti Syat Tatha Nishtha. Nishtha means being more fixed. And these doubts are due to all these different levels of our own conceptions, which create all this. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. So any questions or comments? We have 5 minutes. Yes, ma'am.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you very much for such a wonderful class. You said that when the material tidings come, and if you have strong faith, then you can withstand them. You can stay in the process of Krishna consciousness. In my case, I resort to another method. It is said that expect the best, but be prepared for the worst. So I have this kind of mentality that I already contemplate, okay, if this worst thing happens, I'll be able to tolerate because I have already prepared my mental plane according to that. So is this a mentality good for Krishna consciousness? Is it indifference or is it an impediment for the Krishna consciousness, such kind of mentality? Be prepared for the worst. That's the way of tolerating the material tidings.
You don't have to be prepared. It will come. It will come. That's the nature of this material world. Everything comes to an end. Right? So, hope for the best, as they say. Hope for the best and be prepared for the worst. This is all right. But what is the best and what is the worst we should know? What is the best? And we are striving for the best. We are always striving for the best. We know what is the best. To please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the best. And we try. And be prepared means, yes, because this material nature is designed to create obstacles. It is specifically designed. Mama Maya Duratyaya. These obstacles are... It's designed in such a, it's like a maze. It has been created to actually in such a way that, you know, to the purpose of material nature is that actually. It's been designed by Krishna for this purpose. To keep. So we are prepared. Prepared in the sense through knowledge. Through knowledge we know that these are all the impediments that are bound to come. Just like if you don't know something, I remember once before I went to the one particular forest, the devotee there told me, there are these leeches and they come and, you know, he described how they get stuck and, you know, like a rubber, like a part of your skin, whatever you do, your skin comes out but they don't come out. Once they catch like that. And he described them, how they are, how they catch you, and you don't even realize that they are caught, and all this. So, I went to the forest, and he said, ultimately they take about so many grams of blood or something. So, I went and suddenly, I was taking bath in the river, then I lifted my leg and I saw 2-3 blacks, you know, some worms like, so I didn't know. And suddenly I remembered, maybe these are the leeches. I tried to rub them, pull them, nothing happened. They became part of my skin. It's like a mole, something on your skin. It's like that. They become a part of your body. And I rubbed and rubbed and then I understood that these are leeches. Shravanam. I don't know, something is there. Can you just check? He saw and he brought something like a knife and then from the right, you know, at a particular angle, he just pulled them out. And he said, anyone else in your place would have panicked. I have seen many devotees coming and they take, they really get scared because, you know, something stuck. I'm sure I would have also panicked. But just because I had heard that, this is what it is, what he had told. So that was preparation. I was prepared. I know what is the worst. If you know what is the worst, when you go through, you remember, so far I had heard, now I'm actually seeing what it is. And therefore, having known what is the best, and knowing what is the ultimate worst that can happen, and having heard how people dealt with it in the past, at least we pray. And we at least begin to appreciate these great souls. Amazing. How could they do it? We know all of it. But one little thing and everything is forgotten. One little problem of the body and we forget. We forget the sadhana for some time. I can't do it now. In this state of mind or in this state of situation. But then we realize, my God, these people, how could they do it? We really begin to appreciate. At least we know where to turn to for prayer. That is being prepared for the worst. That we know all possible. That's the whole Bhagavatam is nothing about do's and don'ts. Don't do what Dhruva Maharaj did in the beginning. Of course, he was lamenting. Why did I, why did it overwhelm me so much? Narada Muni told me, just go back and just do it. Of course, it's the perfect reaction. Failure is a stepping stone to success. He failed to climb on the father's lap. So this incident happens billions of times all over the world every day. Some child wants to climb the father's lap and father says nothing doing. Or somebody says something or whatever. So many people are hurt. But how he responded to such a situation, how they reacted to these situations is what is. So how they reacted. How Yayati reacted in one particular way. How Puranjan responded in a particular way. How Yudhishthira responded in a particular way. What is favorable way of responding? What's never to be responded like that? Both are given. Anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam. So what is hoping for the best? And what kind of preparation we should make for the worst? Both are given here. So therefore, by Nityam Bhaga, regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, you know what to hope for. What is it? Hoping against hope. That is a sign of bhava. Asha bandha. Hoping against hope. That yes, these souls did it. There is some hope for me. Such, what is that? Srimati Mataji writes, when you are chanting the holy name, she thinks of two personalities. She says, Patita Pavana Chaitanya and Adosha Darshi Nityananda are my only hopes. Because we are so fallen. But he is Patita Pavan, Chaitanya. And we have so many faults. But Nityananda is Adosha Darshi. He never sees any fault. And they are my only hope. Otherwise, I have no hope. I am fallen. I am full of faults. This is my only hope. And then be prepared for the worst. But then this hope is there. This mercy is there. Even that, even though I am absolutely incapable, but because of this hope, I am able to sustain myself. They'll give the strength. They'll give somehow manage. If my ultimate, if we just have to be sincere, as Prabhupada again and again says, we just have to be sincere from our part. Rest. Leave it to Krishna. He knows best what is. He will give a tailor-made thing for us. Perfect fitting, you know. Tailor-made, they say. Cloth. Not ready-made. Ready-made means, you know, 35, 33. Fixed number, you know. You just have to fit into it and be satisfied with whatever comes. Tailor-made, exactly made for you. So Krishna knows exactly what we need for our kind of purification. And we take calculated risk. Be prepared for the worst means this. Take calculated risk, not foolish risks. And then, Hare Krishna. All right. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Thay Gaur Premanandi.